And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. The radio broadcast is on Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We also have the podcasts at richarddugan.com, the homepage, the radio shows page on Spotify, SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. I'm running out of breath because there's so many places to go. But if you go to the richarddugan.com radio shows page or homepage, you can't miss the players for 2018 and 2019. And good grief, who knows? Maybe not too far away will be 2020 playlist. But we encourage you to go there, listen to the entire interview. The interview that we do for the radio broadcast, it's only 50 minutes long. 50 minutes. But depending upon the guest availability, we just keep going, and we call that the after view. So please. Go to the podcast and listen to the entire thing. By the way, when you're listening to the SoundCloud podcast, you're using that player, you're listening to that, and you see that little grocery cart in the upper right-hand corner of the player? Well, click on it, because, no, we're not selling you anything. We're sending you to our guest's website so that you can continue your evolutionary process. Find out more about our guest, find out more about the work that they're doing. So please click on that. And if this is the first time you've listened to this program, you might want to go to the missions page and read what we're all about. And then at the bottom, there is a place for you to support us if you like what we're doing. We have a PayPal account, and you can click on that link, and you can support us financially with whatever amount you'd like. Thank you in advance. We'll take energetic support as well, so please avail yourselves of that as well. We've had enough guests on the program that have talked to you about sharing energy and so forth, so you should have that down pat. Be that as it may, we encourage you to do just that. And also, if you've got any ideas for us, why don't you send us an email, tmys at richarddugan.com. That's TMYS for Tell Me Your Story, TMYS at richarddugan.com. We would love to hear from you. I think you're going to get a kick out of today's program, because I think we're going to have a lot of fun talking with our guest today. And her name, and I have to say that when I was first seeing her name in the emails regarding doing an interview with her, I'm going to flip this, because I have a sister whose name is Elaine. Is our guest name Elaine? Not exactly. It's actually Joy Elaine, and she has a series of books, presently six, working on seven. They're called The Joy Chronicles, having to do with something you've probably heard of, the Ashtar Command. We're going to talk about that as well. And Joy Elaine, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Richard. Glad to be here.
Well, letting our listeners know just a little bit here about The Joy Chronicle. Chronicles, plural, the books in the Joy Chronicles basically contain exciting information about our world's journey to a place of peace, health, prosperity, and joy. I could stop right there and say, "That I'm in. sign me up." But you're dealing with other dimensional, other realms in these chronicles, and this is information that you've received, I almost want to say, from a higher power, because I'd be hard-pressed to believe that there's another species in the universe that is below us. And I don't mean species of bipedal, humanoid-like, because we're really, what was it? I was watching something the other day, and it was showing just, I mean, it was a very pessimistic program, I will tell you from the start. And it was just showing how bad things are, you know. And we like to focus on what we're doing to clean the place up, to make this a better place for all. And I know that that's where this comes from. First of all, where and how, and the where is probably more illusory than anything, did you come across, come in contact with, be introduced to the Ashtar Command? And who and or what are they or it?
Well, the Ashtar Command, I met one of them. I met the commander, Tonos. Can you hear me? Because my headset is...
You're okay. Coming through loud and clear.
I met Commander Tonos February of 2014. I moved my energy body. We're more than our physical body. We have a dimension of existence beyond physical. So I moved my energy body to his spaceship, which was located, I found out later, on the 10th dimension above Earth. And we started a conversation. What he told me just completely overturned my view of what the future held for me and Earth in a good way. Mm-hmm. And I was so thrilled with the information that he shared with me that I just had to keep coming back. I hadn't really heard much about the Ashtar Command before that meeting. I'd gotten some information from a healer that I used to work with about the Ashtar Command, and I investigated them and thought, gosh, they sound like just super folks, and they are, because they are non-dual. Now, that non-dual, that's a biggie in the work that I do, and I found out what it means. What do you think non-dual means? First of all, Earth is a dual world, so what would non-dual be?
It would be unified, if you will. There is no duality. There's no right, wrong, good, bad, left, right. It's all just one. And
exactly.
I want you to know also, I'm in on that too, because I've shared with our guests, and I'm going to have you continue, but I've shared with our guests many times. I've read the ancient wisdom teachings of the centuries gone by, and they all tell us where we've been, the one. They tell us where we're going, the one. And they tell us where we are, duality. I'm going, why? Yeah. This is ridiculous.
Well, you know, half the worlds in our universe are non-dual. And the masters that I speak with in these Joy Chronicles are non-dual. I'm talking about people that we thought were gods because of their abilities, Isis, Osiris, Hathor, Taut, Sananda, Jesus is an ascended master, Mary Magdalene, some of those beings that have died and ascended. I never work with anybody that's going to lie. You know, non-dual people just are incapable of trickery or deceit. That's not in their heritage. They never experienced that. They have a little bit of difficulty even figuring out how to deal with us in duality because, you know, I guess we would think of them as naive, but they always think of the highest and the best, and that's where we're evolving to. That was what was so exciting for me, Richard. Think about moving to a reality where we have the ability to instantly manifest anything we desire. Now, let me repeat that. Instant manifestation. And I'm not just talking about, you want a diamond and there's a diamond on your hand. I'm talking about the ability to change your body like you change your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You see somebody that's got, you like their hairstyle, and your hair looks like that. You think, well, I'd like to be 3 inches taller, and you're 3 inches taller. Now, that's when we're in non-duality, which for Earth is the eighth dimension. That's our first non-dual dimension.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the masters have told me that humans are the youngest species in the all and the everything.
I'm not surprised.
No. And here's a stunner. We are one of the most important species.
Oh, that I'm really surprised at.
Yeah, I thought, well, gosh, we're all told, Earth is just a little speck out here on the, on the edge of our Milky Way galaxy, no big deal, just a little blip. But the reason, and this is pretty esoteric, I won't get into it in detail because I do talk about it in the books. The reason Earth is so important is that there is an energy space connected to Earth. It's called the fifth realm. Now, I'm not talking about the fifth dimension. I'm mm-hmm. talking about the fifth realm. And that is an energy space where everyone with a soul, every being with a soul from every universe, by the way, there's 47 universes, will end up when they die or they ascend. That's where they're going to end up. And it's connected with Earth. So, wow. We've been holding that space energetically since, I think, for a decade or two. I'm not sure of the exact date. I'd have to look back at my notes. But we decided, that you talk about the 144,000, the light workers.
Mm-hmm.
Gaia, the essence of Earth, Gaia is holding that space along with us in the future. I mean, we're multidimensional, so we're also in that fifth realm now, holding that energy space. And it's a big deal because that's after we ascend, that's where we spend, I suppose you could say in the Bible, it talks about 1,000 years of peace. Well, it could be millennia. We'll spend there perfecting ourselves, experiencing everything that we didn't get experienced when we were alive. My dad, for example, is in the fifth realm, and now he's capable of playing the fiddle, which is something he never could do when he was alive. So, I mean, it's instant. It's you know, perfection there, and that's where we're all headed. I'm choosing not to die. I'm choosing to just ascend and be in that reality in about 350 years. So that's going to give me some time to have some fun.
You are going to see some changes like we won't believe, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I can only imagine what has gone through the mind of my father. He's 88 this particular year, still alive, doing well on this plane. And he was born, obviously, in 1931 at the very beginnings of the Great Depression.
Right.
Following the crash and all of that, prior to World War II and all of the other things that have happened, and the technological advances, the computer, and all of these kinds of things. And so I can only imagine what you are going to experience over the next 350 years, or any of us, if we choose to do this, to manifest these things. But let me ask you a question in that regard. I ask this question every time I hear a story about some wonderful advancement, whether it's in technology, in medicine, in whatever the area is, right? Mm-hmm. That is, we'll say, a little out there, okay? They have this new technique. And it's not gene splicing. There's another name for it that's actually able to, so to speak, transform the DNA to weed out a particular condition. They take the DNA out. They do what they need to do with it. Then they put it back in the person, and voila. I saw this this piece that where they managed to actually eradicate sickle cell from a particular individual. Pretty remarkable. But yeah. here's the question that I have. To you, to the Ashtar Command, in reference to being able to just manifest whatever we want now, in this instant. Just because we can, does that mean we should?
Well, I think you got to look into your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Follow your heart's guidance. I mean, we've been taught, we're all very mental, you know, thinking and figuring things out. But there's a deeper knowledge that we're going to manifest, to be able to tune into what our heart guides, what our heart says. So, you know, combining the heart consciousness with the mind, because the mind is a brilliant computer, but it's not going to go into and above and beyond what it knows. And the heart can reach into those kinds of knowings that, I suppose you could say, your higher consciousness, your higher self, and tune into that knowledge. And if your heart, if it feels good in your heart, then I think I'd say go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does this tie into, say, for example, and maybe you have just answered that question by talking about going into your heart, what everybody's been talking about for the last 15, 20, 25 years, the law of attraction, The Secret came out with their thing and so forth. And how does that tie in? Is it the same thing, basically?
Well, I think it's a little bit different take on it, because the law of attraction, you know, you're magnetizing things all the time. And unfortunately, many of us are focused on what we don't like.
Yeah.
You know, I catch myself doing that, thinking about something, and I think, oh, I wish that would go away. And of course, the more you focus on that, the more you have of that. So one of the things that I like to talk to people about is to find a modality that will help you to clear up some of your programming, your belief systems, your mental chatter, so that you can move into that calmness and clarity that the masters experience. Now, that's going to be easier and easier for us as we continue to evolve.
Mm.
But when you have that stillness of your mind and that clarity, you may have noticed already that things are starting to manifest more quickly for you when you're in that space. You know, you may think about something and then you turn around and there it is.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, here it popped up all of a sudden. So we're going to notice that more and more, that manifestation is coming faster and faster. And so you really want to focus on what you want instead of what you don't want, you know?
Well, absolutely. I know that the phrase, if you were to say, I don't want debt.
Right, right.
They're going to focus on the thing that you don't want, and that's debt, and that's what they're going to give you more of.
Right, and the universe does not recognize don't.
Right, exactly. And so you
so
want to focus on...
So you're saying I want debt when you say I don't want
exactly, debt. Exactly, exactly.
I'm canceling that right now.
There you go. Cancel, so, cancel, erase, erase, erase.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, clear up your thinking. Now, one of the things you can do is turn off the news.
Here, here. In spite of the fact that I've worked for news and information stations.
I know, but, you know, just unfortunately, how often do you hear something that really lifts your heart?
Oh,
know,
my gosh. I have to give credit to some of the network stations, the three majors in particular. Usually they will throw in, usually at the end, a feel-good story, one where it's showing the humanity of humanity, and it's just wonderful. So, yes.
Yeah. So how, you know, one of the things I like to talk about is, you know, where we are. Where I said, you know, we're heading to the eighth dimension. Well, where are we now? Well, physically. And this is from the masters. This is from Gia, who is the essence of the embodiment of Earth. And the ascended masters I work with tell me that we are now consciously, all of us, including Earth, in the fifth and or sixth dimensions. Third dimension left in 2009. Fourth dimension left a couple years ago. When I say they left, I mean those that lower dimension thinking, that struggle, that fight for survival, that's gone. Now, mm-hmm. Some people are kind of hanging on to that.
Oh, yeah.
But choose to move beyond that. So mm-hmm. Five and six. Of course, you know, when I mentioned energetically, we exist in all dimensions, but our physical bodies are in five and six. So how do we have fun on the way to the eighth dimension?
Please, how?
Well, one of the things I think, and I'm, of course, I'm beating my own drum, but that's what I'm here for, is to read my books.
Mm-hmm.
In the back, each of the books has a short paragraph explaining how you can participate in the work we do in the Joy Chronicles. Mm. And why is that important? Well, we live here, so we get to vote about what happens on Earth. Our thinking, our choices, our decisions on a daily basis are paving the way for our future. So, I mean, all these galactic beings that would love to assist us, you know, they really can't. Their hands are tied unless, and here's where I was really thrilled. When I stepped aboard that Ashtar command ship and asked for assistance, Donna said, wow. Well, he didn't say wow because they don't talk that way. But he said, wow, and, you know, that gives us a chance to be of more service. You know, when you ask, we can help. You know, they can't. My older son said, you know, when I was talking to him about the Ashtar Command, he said, Mom, why don't they just come down and fix everything? And I said, well, they can't do that. We have free will.
Yeah.
We get to decide, you know. So read the books. Have fun. There's genies. There's dragons. There's fairies. There's, I mean, experiences that no human before me, I believe, has really gone into experience, and you get to join me in this adventure.
Absolutely. Joy Elaine is my guest. We're talking about the Joy Chronicles, and we're talking about the six books. Am I understanding correctly there is number seven coming?
Well, I'm looking for a publisher right now. I want to take the books out to a wider audience than I've been able to reach so far, just describing that. And there's actually going to be 10 in this first series.
Oh, wow. So, wait a minute. 10 in the first series?
Yeah, but I've only published six.
And so how many series will there be, do you think?
Well, I've started the second series, and I'm on book two of the second
series.
Oh,
my goodness. Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's just so much, I mean, it's so compelling, the work that we're doing, and so much fun. I mean, when I get to talk with fairies, when I get to chat with a dragon king and find out the history of the dragons, and I wanted to share that with everybody, and I wanted to share with them the good news about where we're going, because, like I said, people do tend to focus on all the stuff that's coming up now to be cleared.
Yeah.
You know, it's for a reason to release it. Okay, so how else can we have fun? Well, I've got some great fun videos. They're short. They're on YouTube and also on my website. One is called Love and Sex at the Joy Council. Another one is the Ashtar Command versus Star Trek, Star Wars. First of all, there's no comparison between between them. And on my blog, I've got a lot of great, on my website, a lot of great information in my blog about self-love, how to dream the eighth dimension into reality, the bridge into non-duality, information about genies, dragons, fairies. So tune in to the books or the videos or my website.
Absolutely. And the website is joyelaine.com. We encourage you to go there. And as I said at the beginning of the program, go there to basically take a look at and help yourself to go through the process of the evolution of yourself. Now, Joy Elaine is a level 4 master practitioner. She's also an animal healing practitioner of SVH. We're going to talk about serenity, vibration healing as well, and enlightenment techniques. We'll talk about that in a little bit. She also credits this energy modality with being instrumental in assisting her to bring forth the information in the Joy Chronicles. How long have you been in contact with the Ashtar Command?
Well, you know, I've only been in contact with the Ashtar Command since 2014, but I've been since probably the 1990s. I was getting messages at night. one of these days I'm going to be able to sleep at night. Of course, in the eighth dimension, we don't need to sleep. But anyway, I keep a little digital recorder under my pillow because I get so much information at night, and I bring that in the day when I wake up, and I've got enough information to share with the council, the Joy Council that we form in Book 2, then I transmit energetically to that space, and we work on the information that I've. It's a part of me that's like this master spy, I guess, you know, roaming around all the universes and figuring out stuff and getting information. A lot of it's in code that I don't even know. I don't even know what I'm getting. But I've got a group of people at the Joy Council, which are able to decipher that and take action on some of the stuff that's happening. I mean, I've discovered, you know, a couple of universes that the entire universes had been at war for millions of years. I mean, I'm glad we don't live in we don't live in that universe.
Thank you very much. I mean, we've got enough of our own that we create.
We've got enough stuff to deal with here. Yeah,
exactly. So when you began this project, the Joy Chronicles, how did you know that it was time for this information to be made available to the general public? I mean, obviously, that's what you're trying to do. And of course, that's what we're doing with this program, is trying to bring people such as yourself to the forefront and say, hey, you know, look over here. We have what we think is a better way of living, and we'd like for you to consider it. So tell us a little bit about how that all began for you.
Well, I met Tonas in February, first part of February, and I started visiting him. You know, the first meeting was so astonishing. The first or second meeting, he said he'd known me for a million years, and I'm thinking, oh, wow. And then he told me he was over 25 million years old, and he looks like he's about 30. And I thought, gosh, you know, I got to find out more about this. So I just started regular visits. And then about June or July, I thought, I cannot keep this a secret. Mm. I absolutely have to tell people. I have to tell people that we're moving to a place, to a reality where there's no degeneration of your physical body. I mean, he's 25 million years old, and he was the youngest Ashtar commander. There were 86 million ships stationed above Earth at that time on the higher dimensions, just kind of guarding us. And I stepped onto his ship. He was the youngest in the entire command at 25 million years old. And so it was like my whole mind just kind of went, you know, like explosion, like, oh, okay, well, this is a new reality. You know, this is a new paradigm we're talking about. How could I not tell my sons and my family and friends, my friends, about this possibility? You know, people my age, I'm 73, and people my age are, you know, they've got their grave plot picked out. They've got their wills made out. They're just planning to die. And you know, I wanted to let them know there's another option.
Exactly. Well, these six books are very interesting. Path of Sweetness is the first. Blossoming of Love, A Wish is Granted, Path of Freedom, And then the sixth work is Spaceship Earth, and that has to do with Return of the Star Tribes. One of the problems that I know you are, I'm sure you're aware of, because if you're not watching the news, you can feel it. And that is the sense of separation that is being almost force-fed to us again. The tribalism that, especially in this country, and it's more along political, but also religious, economic, ethnic, educational lines and so forth. And the reality is that the more that we experience, if we're awake, if we're conscious, we realize, oh, I am affecting the lives of people around me here.
Yes.
But a lot of people who are not awake, and some of them are in positions of power, or at least it's the perception that they're not awake. We really don't know, you know,
right.
Per se. But the perception is that they're not awake, and they continue to make decisions and do things that affect all of us in some fashion. But then there's that aspect, as you've sort of shared with us here in the early parts of the program, where we don't have to allow their decisions and their actions to affect us in the way that it might someone who is not awake. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And the more you the more you've cleaned up your your own side of the street, you know what I'm talking about, the more you've dealt with, like I mentioned before, clearing up your programming, releasing things that just don't resonate with you anymore, you know, let it go. Focus on the good things. Focus on the best parts of yourself. There's a great, easy blog article that I wrote about the bridge into non-duality. And we could do it really quickly, but all you do is you just shut your eyes and you imagine a bridge that leads into the higher realms. And you just pretend, you just see yourself walking and stepping on that bridge. Now, how does that help you in your daily life? Well, have you ever been in a relationship where you were trying to fix the other person?
Yeah.
I have.
Aha.
Guess what? Guess what? That doesn't work.
Does not work, no.
So you've got people, you may have people in your life, you'd like to help them. And unfortunately, sometimes you jump into their stuff and then you're both in trouble. You're both kind of struggling. So how do you help those people that you love? Well, you love them. You just, you stand on your bridge, and the bridge that's in the bridge into non-duality, it leads into the higher dimensions, and you just send them love. You know, you can see that the water below the bridge is, maybe there's some turmoil there and stuff is going on, and, you know, so-and-so's unhappy and this happened, and it's easy to just step off the bridge and dive into the water, but that's really, you're jumping into the struggle with them.
Yeah.
So if you take a minute to think about your bridge, step on back onto it and just dance on it. Just feel good about yourself. Find a movie that you like to watch and that makes you feel good. Read a book that makes you laugh. Turn off the news again, as I mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey.
You know, enjoy. Mm-hmm. We really are meant to be here to live and love and have fun. You know.
Absolutely.
And we get so serious about things and we forget how to play. And taking a walk outside, that would be a good way to connect yourself back to the earth. I mean, that's Return of the Star Tribes. That's about what I found out about all the, for example, the Native Americans. They're not native to our country, to our world. They came from non-dual stars to experience living on earth and to help humans. So thank you. I thank them very much in the beginning of the book. And it's about, you know, honoring all the oneness, all the tribes that there are, because in reality, you know, however many roads that people are on, they're all going to lead to the same place. You mentioned that at the beginning, I think, back to the oneness.
You know, I at the time of this conversation, I experienced a loss of a very, very dear friend of mine who I met 40 years ago. And we worked together at the very first station that I worked at. and became good friends, worked together on various projects through that station, and we stayed friends and in contact even after I moved here to Santa Barbara. I've even had her on the program a couple of times, and there's going to be a third program I'm going to feature her on in memoriam, if you will. But one of the things that she shared with me, and I want to touch upon this, you say you want to live another 350 years. And she was sharing with me in one of our last conversations this year that she was ready to leave. As a matter of fact, she said she was 85 at the time, and at the time of her passing as well. And she said that she wanted to leave when she turned 80. But for whatever reason, things just kept coming along that she needed to deal with. And so she stayed for five more years. Kind of similar to my first marriage, where I should have left after 10, but I stayed another five trying to, and here was the logic, and it kind of goes to what you were saying. I'm a smart and intelligent guy. I can figure this out and make this relationship work. Tried that for 5 years. It didn't work. So, but back to my friend who basically, she's a very headstrong woman. Very headstrong. I mean, you know, you don't mess with her. If she wants to do something the way she wants to do it, that's the way she's going to do it. And so when she was diagnosed back in, what was it, late February of 2019 with a particular condition, the doctors were saying, okay, well, we need to rush you off to the hospital to take care of this and then you'll be fine. I said, no. She said, no. I was supposed to leave at 80. And I want to leave now. She didn't have any problems psychologically. She wasn't depressed. She was done.
Right.
And as you and I both would probably affirm that we have these contracts that we filled out when we first came here, and we chose to come here. We chose to come into the families and to the people that we came in to and have the experiences. Ergo, she chose to have the experience of leaving. The way that she left, and she did. I was told the details of the process that she went through, and she apparently went to sleep. She'd been given the pain medication via hospice, and she went to sleep, and she never woke. She left, and I thought, wow, you know, I've been trying not to emote. You know, I've been trying not to get all teary-eyed, because she even said she did not want a memorial because she didn't want a bunch of people standing around crying and moaning and groaning and carrying on about her life. Well, the one thing that epitomized her life was a radio program that she did called A Celebration of Life. And that's what she wanted people to remember her for, how she celebrated her life, how she lived her life. And so I'm wondering, from your perspective, from the Ashtar Command and the entities that you have communicated with, or the entity, the concept of life and death sound dualistic. And yet, from my perspective, maybe just because I've been doing this for so many years, been a metaphysician since I was about 16, 17, it's part of the cycle. It just is what is in this realm.
Yeah, I mean, people don't end, really. I mean, I'm still talking to my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. You know, the people that in book two we form a council, because we had so much fun in the first book with sending assistance to Earth from Tonos's spaceship, that I didn't want it to end. There was a huge party at the end of the book, and about 50,000 people came, and we had so much fun, and we did such impactful work to assist Earth that I wanted to continue. So in the second book, we start a council on the 10th dimension of our moon and in the inner Earth, all right? And I invited people like Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, and Marilyn Monroe, Hiawatha, a lot of Native Americans, the Egyptian quote gods, Thor, and of course Kennedy is the ascended version of his self. He doesn't have the programming or the beliefs and things that he had when he was alive that might have been not ideal. and so death is just another step in life, really. I mean, the council loves to work with dead people. they come from the fifth realm, and they visit us occasionally. And I mean, I've met all kinds of interesting people from you know, Plato to Omar Sharif to you know, people come handle and visit us and give us their, you know, their expertise. Some of Roy Rogers and some of the cowboys that I loved when I was a little girl. So they're still alive. There's still that energy of death is not an end.
Yeah. You know? What can you tell us about there's a process, if you will, that I have actually been through and had this gentleman on our program to talk about it, called LBL, Life Between Lives. And it's that transition period from one incarnation to the next. And I've also been reading a book for years. I've been carrying it with me everywhere, had to have it rebound because it was getting so tattered. And it was actually given to me by this friend who just recently passed, called The Impersonal Life. And it talks about reincarnation. But it talks about it from this perspective. It says that you think that you've been reincarnated one life lifetime after another, you know, thinking that those are, you know, different incarnations of you, your essence, if you will. And that when you do regression therapy, you're tapping into those kinds of things to learn what you need to learn. But I tell you in truth that those lives you say you have lived are actually lives that you are tapping into. They are nothing more than my manifestation. And this, of course, is the higher power, God, if you will, talking to you through this book. And so basically what's being said is whatever life you're living right now, it's the only life you're going to have. And when you have these regression therapy sessions to go back and look, what you're doing is you're tapping into these other lives, manifestations of God, if you will, that God has created, in order to learn these lessons. And I started thinking about that in terms of the whole concept of reincarnation and what's the purpose of doing that regression therapy. Doesn't change a thing, because the regression therapy is there for you to learn what you need to learn in this lifetime so that you can move forward. But I'm wondering if the Ashtar Command talks about, you say we never end, do we absolutely reincarnate one lifetime after another, if we choose to, again, going through that process of trying to learn? Or is there just one manifestation? So we're actually, you know, there have been trillions of human beings, and there are trillions of souls or spirits or whatever our essence is.
Well, I haven't talked with the Ashtar Command about that much, but I have talked with the Ascended Master Sananda, is one I work with quite a bit, Lord Sananda. And, you know, I think you're going to get as many different takes on that as you ask another person, they'll have a different take on it. But here's what I've been told. Everything is happening all at once.
Mm-hmm.
So the past lives really aren't past. They're still happening.
Hmm.
And if you think, the only way that I can get my mind around that is that if I pretend that I'm stepping out of everything that's happening and I'm looking down on it from a celestial viewpoint, looking down at all the turmoil and all the lives that's below me, and I can see, oh, yeah, there's that lifetime where I was doing that. Because I've had that, you know, I've done that past life regression stuff and mm-hmm. experienced a lifetime as a young boy riding an Arabian horse. And my dad in that lifetime was my dad in this lifetime. So the matrix of creation is not like a multi-level marketing plan. I do know that. It's my guy. One of my guys said, "It's imagine a kaleidoscope that is constantly shifting. The fractals in the shift are constantly shifting, and the lives, quote, the other lives that you might experience are those individuals that are close to you on the matrix." In initiates and in some of the ancient schools on Earth experienced, if they experienced the whole of everything, they went mad. It was just too much stuff. I mean, I can only imagine. So I don't know that I've cleared up anything for you, but I do know that when I spoke with my dad in the fifth realm, he said, well, I asked him about that Arabian life because I've always been fascinated with Arabian horses. And he said, well, we've had many lifetimes like that together, several incarnations where I was your dad and sometimes, you know, I was a different relation. So I don't think I've cleared up anything, but that's just what I've been told, that everything is happening at once. So there isn't such a thing as a past life. You may experience it that way, but it's still, if you step outside of time and look at it, you can still step into that lifetime and experience what's happening there. Mm. This lifetime is the important one.
I've heard it said, too, from other guests on the program who are in contact with the spirit realm, the other dimensions. We are viewed, and this goes to what you said earlier about our importance in the universe here on Earth. We are viewed, those of us who are here now, as heroes because we have chosen to incarnate at this time.
Exactly.
When we get back from the break, I'm going to have you hold on to that because I want to ask you, why? Why are we being viewed as such? We're going to continue talking with Joy Elaine. JoyElaine.com is the website. And Joy Chronicles we're talking about, as well as her conversations, if you will, and communication with the Ashtar Command and other realms and dimensions and so forth. And we'll be back on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Don't go away.
Tell me your story.
And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. We're here with Joy Elaine, and we're talking about the Chronicles called the Joy Chronicles. And I suspect that Vin Diesel will be in the movie version thereof. He was in the Riddick Chronicles, and so there you go. That's a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
But let's jump to that issue that I raised as we went to break, and that is, why is it that the other realms, the other dimensions, the other entities, and even the other, I'll call them extraterrestrials, you know, who are living in this dimension, but elsewhere, because, again, I'm one of those who believes, I don't know, but I believe that we are not the only sentient, conscious beings in the universe. To me, it's the height of arrogance to think that we are. But why do all of the others, other than us, think that we're heroes in this time? What is happening that's so critical in this time period that we would be viewed as such?
This is the age of expansion. Everybody that's alive now is here, like you said, on purpose, because Earth is the happening place. All eyes are on Earth. And I was like, okay, well, remember I said we're the youngest species? Remember I said we have this area, this energy presence associated with Earth called the fifth realm, where everybody in all the 47 universes will end up? And so think about the challenges you've gone through in your life. It's been, just describing this, not giving energy to it, it's been kind of difficult, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not been a piece of cake. I mean, we get hurt. We get mentally and physically hurt. We get betrayed. We get all kinds of experiences. Now, people on non-dual worlds have never experienced anything like that. Tonos, the Ashtar commander that I met in the first book, you know, that's over 25 million years old, he said he'd never even fallen and scraped his knee.
Wow.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
I mean, it just, the energy of the world that he was on, I think he was born on Lyra. That's one of the non-dual worlds in our universe. Anyway, the energy just would lift him up. He wouldn't even, you know, never had any kind of injuries in his entire life. Was always loved. He's one of 46 children because they don't birth children like we do in non-duality. And, you know, so when he moved down into one of the dual dimensions, and he got on a bicycle. And he was wearing his Ashtar Command robes, and you can imagine what happened when he was. Mm-hmm. He suffered a terrible accident. It was his first that he'd ever experienced at the age of over 25 million years old. And I'm laughing now because, you know, I did comfort him, you know. But mm-hmm. But it's tough. It's tough living in duality. I mean, I think we all should have great big badges that say hero, like you said, panned onto our shirts, because we're making a difference. And I think actually when we get to non-duality, we will have, I don't know if this is true or not, but just think about the abilities that we've learned how to do things in duality. Tonos, when he moves his spaceship, he just thinks it to where he wants to go. Okay.
Mm.
So imagine what it was like when we had this party and we manifested cars. He could not drive a car. It was terrible. You know, he said, I think I tore the gears out of it. He said, you were laughing and laughing and laughing. It was so funny. So we've learned to do things manually. And now as we move towards the eighth dimension, we'll have to be mastering our minds, because we will be thinking things into existence.
Thinking things into existence.
Well, we do that now, but there's been a time lag. You know, we think about something, and then usually we think, oh, well, I can't have that, or that won't happen, or, you know, all that thinking that goes on that's just completely blocks whatever we really want, just
right.
describing this.
Right.
But if we learn to get clear about what we choose and we stay focused on that, it's going to start manifesting faster and faster and faster. So, you know, start thinking about what you really choose. I mean, there's a wonderful blog article that I wrote called The Golden Ticket to Manifesting Ideal Scenarios. And it's an easy three-step process that you can just have Serenity Vibration Healing working for you to clear away what you're choosing to manifest. A clearing that kicks in anytime you start having those negative thoughts that, well, I can't have that, or that won't happen, or that's never happened before. You'll get a clearing that activates. So it's called The Golden Ticket. It's a blog article. It's just three steps. You'll be able to just start really cleaning up your life, manifesting not just physical things, but, you know, releasing things like guilt or grief or regret. Those just have no place in a master consciousness. We're all remembering we are masters, and we're going to be manifesting our mastery abilities, teleporting. You know, Tonas can levitate, teleport, bilocate. You know, all those things are part of our future in non-duality.
Well, I have shared with our listeners on more than one occasion my frustrations over this whole concept of duality. I'm not a fan of trauma drama anymore. I just, I don't like watching horror films. I get bored. For example, we're now watching this one series, and it's thank goodness. I like the short series. I've actually seen a few wonderful British miniseries that are only three or four episodes long. Because it starts, you do a couple, three episodes, and it's over. And then there are these other shows that go on for 9 and 10 and 15 and 20 seasons. And I'm going, oh, my God, will you please bring this to an end? You know, because this is just driving me. So I'm not that I've ever watched anything for that number of seasons, mind you. But I've seen some programs, which my present wife loves. And it's like the sixth or seventh season. I'm going, but they're doing the same thing. It's just with different group of people. You know, it's kind of like right now with this whole thing. Everybody's been up in arms over the Game of Thrones, this incredible fantasy program. Mm-hmm. And what I find so fascinating is in this final season that they have had and the final few episodes to the finale, how critical everybody is getting. Because of the fact that I'm sure everybody is just all bent out of shape over the fact that it's coming to an end. They don't want it to end. And I'm just sitting here going, how many years can you spend fighting amongst yourselves? How many seasons? It's just getting old. We have our history to look at and say, we did that. It's over. We've done it. And we need to move on. And now, if I'm not mistaken, the process of moving out of that realm of fight or flight, I guess that's the best way to put it, because conflict is always about fear.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we have people who are in power, not just in this country, but around the world in different countries, who are disseminating that fear and continuing to divide their populations against one another. It's like, what, you want a civil war? Is that what your country is based on? A civil war that will determine who gets to run the show? It kind of goes to that whole aspect, as I see it, Joy, where we are all part of the whole, as we've already been talking, and that And I joked with the programmer not too long ago. He has also since passed. I don't know if that has anything to do with me or not. But anyway, I said, first of all, don't you think that you owe them, the people he was complaining about, who he says created the problems, don't you think you owe them a debt of thanks? Because if it wasn't for them, first of all, you'd have nothing to talk about on your program. Okay. And again, I'm saying this somewhat facetiously, but also somewhat seriously. Then the other part of it is, and don't you think that all the problems you're complaining about that you say were caused by these people is really on you? Because if we, in this country, use the voting process, if you had just gotten out more people who were on your side to vote for the people you wanted in to make the decisions that you wanted to make, then we wouldn't have the problems that you're complaining about today. So really, this isn't their fault. This is yours. This is on you. It's like almost trying to point out the ridiculous. The ridiculousness. And then when I hear these echo chambers, which occasionally I do, I don't get into them myself, and it doesn't matter which side it is, and they start their name calling. They start belittling people on the other side. I'm going, how is this helping? How is this solving the problems you say that we have?
Right.
Talk to us about the power of words in that regard.
Well, you know, every thought, everything you say is goes out and is stored in collective consciousness. And think about the millions or hundreds of thousands of years of thoughts that we've been thinking. Now, if you want to keep tapping into that, into what people think and what they say, and it doesn't resonate with your heart, then you're just continuing to contribute to that kind of negativity or that duality of nature. there's a place, and I've experienced it. I've actually experienced being in the eighth dimension. I did that a couple weeks ago, and it was total bliss. There was nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with any part of my body. I knew I was perfect. I was healthy. I was just love. And that's the message that masters are telling me, that we are all formed of the same energy, no matter what we look like. That's our fundamental nature. We are all really one tribe. I've seen beings that look like lions, and they are upright, dressed, you know, full mm-hmm. dressed. I've seen people with two heads. I've seen a little girl with a fishtail. They're from different species, from different universes. And we are all made of that same energy, of that particles of light that is comprised of everything. And so, you know, the more criticism, the more you tune into criticism and are critical and spread dissension, and you're just feeding that fiery furnace of duality. So, you know, get out, take a walk, and talk to the fairies.
Oh, absolutely. My wife and I were in Ireland back in 2002, 2003, and 2004, and we were at one location where I took some photographs. And actually, we zoomed in on this one spot inside this well. It was called Bridget's Well. And we looked at it and scrutinized it as carefully as we could before it pixeled out. And the only conclusion we could come to was it was a picture of a fairy. The Irish or the Celtic traditions really, more than any other that I'm aware of, talk about this whole realm of fairies.
Well, you know, there fairies exist everywhere. There's green, there's a fairy garden.
Oh, really?
So there are there's no fairy gardens in Antarctica or the Sahara Desert. But even in the Arctic Circle, there is greenery, so there's a fairy garden there. And every garden has a queen. There's over 25 million fairies. And Gia told me that without the fairies, Earth would be a dead world. They support every green growing thing. And they do support our animals also. Mm. So how can you tap into the fairies? Well, they don't come into your house. They only just do.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to touch base with a fairy, you just go outside and sit down in the grass and ask, you know, lay down, close your eyes, and they'll come whisper in your ears. They got a fairy queen. She does have a wand. She can give you a conch. And I've been conked for luck forever. I thought that was a great way to have a conk. And what does a conk do? Well, it's powered by the fairies in the fairy garden, and it will help you open your heart. So moving closer, moving back to nature, being more aware of the earth and honoring the earth. A lot of the work that our council does is to assist the earth and to assist people that are developing like free energy and scientists that are developing cures and things like that. So we do a lot of that support work that you can be part of. But the fairies, you know, if you're tuning into them, if you're tuning into the earth, then that grounds you. That helps you be calmer. That helps you maybe be more joyful. You know, just take smelling the flowers and stepping outside. We get so involved in, you know, our jobs and our work and don't take time to spend outside. But nature is, that's one of the things the indigenous people have to teach us, is about that connection, that kinship they have with nature that many of us have lost. We moved into cities and, you know, stay inside our homes.
Yeah.
So it's time. It's all of us have, I guess, a destiny, which is still changeable. But it's time now to step into your chance to be part of what's happening on Earth. That's why we're here, either consciously or unconsciously. Many people have no idea. You know, they're just here. They're living their job. Their lives. They're going to work. They're coming home. They're watching TV. They're going to bed. And that's okay if that's where they are. But some people are waking up. And here's the cool thing that I think. Things like Star Trek, Star Wars, the Harry Potter books, they have prepared people. People are hungry. They are looking for something. And would you say that the ability to instantly manifest is anything you desire is magic? Would you say that that could be considered magic?
I would say that with our base of knowledge, it would be considered magic.
Okay. Well, not to put down Harry Potter, because those have been great fantasy movies, but think about a reality that is magical, that's in our future. It's real. It's real. Earth's eighth dimension of non-duality is ahead of us. And however you want to get there, I mean, if you want to die and ascend and enjoy it from the fifth realm, fine. Some people that are, you know, my parents dad died a few years ago when he was 97. He just didn't have the energy or the belief systems or the ability to hang around for another couple hundred years.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, but he's enjoying himself in the fifth realm, and he's still assisting Earth. He's still focusing on you know, the good things that are here. So if they can do it when they're dead, why not we do it when we're alive?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I know that I think about this sometimes. My father being 88, and he's lived obviously much longer than I, and he's seen a whole lot more changes than I have. And I have to, in conversations with him, I can sense his level, depending upon the conversation, I can sense his level of frustration over the way things are today. And I've even argued this point with folks, you know, when they talk about our process in this country in particular, in the United States, is the common man. And I think about it from the standpoint, and again, this goes back to the whole duality thing, which I'm trying to shift out of, but is the common man better off today than he was 40, 50, 60 years ago? And the answer to that question is no. He isn't any better off. He's more indentured to the system because the taxes are higher and all of the other elements therein, in spite of the fact that we've been going through our process every 2 to 4 years, depending upon your local community as well as on the national level, because we have the dualism, if you will, of parties. And we keep shifting back and forth. It's the pendulum keeps swinging, but we make no progress forward. And this is strictly from a materialistic standpoint. And again, here we are today, and we've got people out there who are complaining about all of the problems as they see them. And yet, you know, I'm living in Santa Barbara. I've always wanted to be by the ocean. And I haven't been able to for the last few months. I haven't been able to get down there. I am literally 20 minutes walking distance from the water, and I haven't been able to get down there. And that's my fault. That's on me. But I made the decision to move to this space. And here I am, and people refer to it as paradise. What problems could you have in paradise? Well, and if you start taking a look at things, you can find problems. Is that one of the other aspects of this whole aspect of manifesting instantly, is that the one thing that blocks us is that very thing, that whatever it is that we're looking for, if it's problems, we will find them?
Yes, exactly. You know, I think if you find a modality that you like I said, the surrender vibration healing, that helped me to get really clear, much clearer in my thinking, and see that, oh gosh, I've got this belief system that, you know, I had a lot of difficulty about being wealthy, being able to accept wealth or abundance, you know, because of my parents, you know, the depression they were raised, and that's what they talked about all the time as I was growing up, how hard it was and how they didn't have any money. So that manifesting thing, you know, it's really upon us to train our minds to, like I said, if you want to look at that golden ticket, that's one way to help you manifest. Start manifesting what you're really choosing. Mm-hmm. It's very simple exercise. It works with surrender vibration healing. It empowers your God self to keep clearing the blocks to what you choose. And it's an individual choice, Richard, about, you know, you can keep focusing on the bad stuff and get more of the bad stuff, or you can just drag your mind away from that and start focusing on what you're choosing. And it's a daily thing for me, you know, and it depends on how you feel physically too. So a lot of us are going through, there's planetary changes going on, which disrupt your sleep patterns, your physical, you know, your physical body. So being healthy, it's easier to feel good when your body feels good, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that's another interesting aspect, too. We have just gone through, in this country in particular, I'm not sure if we're through it yet, but, you know, because we seem to do it every year, and I'm thinking, why are we doing this every year? The flu season, you know? I can't remember the last time I had a flu shot. It's got to be 40 years since I've had a flu shot.
And I don't do that either.
I've never gotten the flu. My wife was forced to get the flu shot this year.
Oh, dear.
She got the flu. She was out of work for a week, 2.5 weeks.
Oh, 2.5 weeks.
Now, some will say, why, you can't prove that that was the flu shot that gave her the flu. Well, she never had the flu before, and she never got the flu shot before. So I can only conclude, and I don't believe in coincidences, I believe in coincidences, that there's a connection there somewhere, even if it can't be proven scientifically. It just doesn't make a lot of sense that this would happen, you know, in the time frame that it happened. But that aside, so what we want to, what is the one thing that you would want us, the Ashtar Command would want us, the other entities who are, shall we say, pulling for us? What is the one thing that you want us to take away from not just the Joy Chronicles, but the work that you do?
Well, I want people to feel hope. And I want them to feel excited about the future. They'll get to see the big picture for Earth. And, you know, how could you not be excited and thrilled about the future that is awaiting us, that's ahead of us? I wanted to believe in magic. And when I found out these things from the Ashtar Command, I thought, it really does exist. It really does exist. It really is possible to live a magical life. That's our future.
The best way I can describe the magic in my life is that I have felt from a very early age, late teens probably, that I've always been in the right place at the right time.
There you go.
Now, does that mean that every single event in my life was wonderful and exciting and you know, I was joyous and happy? No. But I worked through those periods that weren't so much so. I worked through them to the other side, and then voila, I wound up here, and I wound up there, and I wound up here, and I did that, and I got to meet this person, and I got to do that thing, and the whole collective aspect of it. And here I am today talking with Joy Elaine about Joy Chronicles. You know?
Yeah, yeah. It's a good story, Richard.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that other people will do the same. Go to joyelaine.com and grab a copy of one of, if not all of, the six, currently the six books of the Joy Chronicles, and find out more about this work. Yes, go ahead.
They are also available on Kindle if people are into Kindle. If you go to my website, it's the easiest place to find them. Amazon is a little bit describing, just not feeding energy to that, but it's a little bit, you know, to find my books on Amazon. If you start at my website, it takes you right to Amazon, yeah. And you'll see the books, yeah, there.
Go there through joyelaine.com.
There's a page. There's a page of highlights for each book. There's a short video about each book. Yeah. And so you'll get a real feel for which one you want to start with. I mean, they're chronological, so it makes logical sense to start with book one. Yeah. But I have some people that wanted to start with book five, Return of Dragons, or they want to buy books four, five, and six, or they want to buy two, three, and four. So, you know, just enjoy. Follow your heart, and I think you will be inspired and uplifted, and I hope you will be anyway.
Absolutely. Are they audible yet?
No, I haven't done that. I know that's in the future. And Richard, my guys have told me that they're going to be movies.
Well, of course.
So,
no, seriously.
Yeah.
When I read Dan Brown's works, the first two that he came out with, The Da Vinci Code and then Angels and Demons, my wife and I were listening to the Audible version, and there was no movie at the time. And of course, we were driving on a trip to Santa Barbara that particular time. And I'm seeing the images in my head.
Yeah.
I'm seeing the film going. And you know what? When the first one came out, Da Vinci Code came out, the main character, he looked exactly like the guy in my movie.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. I didn't know it was going to be Tom Hanks, you know?
Well, here's what's going to happen for my movies, because there's going to have to be two of me. There's going to be one that looks 73, and there's going to be one that looks 23, because I have seen myself.
Mm-hmm.
On that ship, and that's how I look. I look like I'm about 23. I've got long golden hair, and
ooh,
sometimes my eyes are violet. Sometimes my skin is blue. I mean, you know,
yeah.
It's going to be great. It's really fun.
I still remember that one character from the original Star Trek series, that woman who was dressed in a skimpy outfit, and she was all green. Looked pretty hot to me.
Well, you know, we need to get used to being to different colors, because a lot of the galactic ones are different colors. I mean, Isis is a light blue. Osiris is a teal color, teal blue green.
Oh wow.
Really, really striking color. So,
well, the characters in Avatar who were all blue, I thought they looked pretty cool too.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was very neat. Well, we will definitely be looking forward to the Joy Chronicles film series. And I think that'll be a lot of fun. And certainly the Audible books as well. That's one of the things that I do on the side as well, is produce Audible books. Maybe we'll have a chat and talk about that.
Yeah.
And Joy Elaine, I want to thank you so much for giving us this time to share about the work that you do. There's still so much more that we can talk about, I know. And we will do that, because I do want to have you back down the road.
Great.
Here to talk more about the work that you're doing, as well as the two books you're working on and the other two series as well, and on and on and on. Because the work never ends on this planet, in this realm, in terms of sharing with people how to transform their lives to a space and a place that is, I'm going to put it this way, that's non-dualistic. To me, that's the best way to do it.
Yep. So if you have me back, we'll actually visit an Ashtar Command spaceship next time.
I would love to do that. Absolutely. No, seriously, I would love to do that. I also want to let our listeners know, you want to go to joyelaine.com. We will be linked to her website as well, and find out more about the six books and the work that she's doing. See the videos, listen to some of the audios. I've listened to a couple of the audio files that you've got up there as well. And also, should you ever find yourself here in the Santa Barbara area, we would love to have you in studio.
Oh, Yeah, I love Santa Barbara. It's a great town.
Well, if you next time you're here, let us know, and we'll put together a time to sit and talk more about this. And before I let you go, I just want to ask you three final questions for this particular program. And again, thank you so much for your time. The first question is, who is Joy Elaine?
She's a master, remembering that she is a master.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
Inspiration and encouragement for all those who read my books.
And what is your life's purpose?
Exactly what I'm doing right now. Plus, being joyful, living up to my name.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear. Well, thank you again, Joy, for joining us here on the program. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to talking with you again very soon.
Love you, Richard. Thank you.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love, Talal.